This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fast 15. So the market has closed 7 minutes ago, and it was down 328 points for the day, the Dow was. So 24,252.
At one point, it was down by 501.
Ooh, I didn't see it above 500. No. I walked in, it was down by 450.
Yeah.
But so it bounced back, regained about, I don't know, 30% of its biggest losses. So, but it was, yeah, rough day on Wall Street.
Change that, 496 points, I think it was
okay.
The lowest.
All right. So anyway, but it bounced back a little bit before the close, but it'll probably be up 400 one day this week. Who knows the way these things are going. Okay, let's get to our fastest 15, a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. I'm kind of torn here now. I got a decision to make.
What's that?
As you know, I enjoy the live theater.
You do.
And so does my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so for gifts, at the Paramount Theater, they have a thing. It's kind of foo-foo. It's called the Paramount Club. And it's very good seats. And you get a separate end.
Why is it foo-foo?
Well, but it's just kind of fancy.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Fancy. Okay, so you get a separate entrance, and then you have a little pre-show area where they have little canapés or charcuterie and drinks and all that.
That's what you call it when you want to just make the price a little higher.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just bread.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And they would just have little snacks and food.
Uh-huh.
You get a separate entrance.
Okay.
They give you a parking pass.
Yeah.
And then you'd sit in the first two rows of the balcony, which tends to be very nice seats.
Yes.
And so I gave that to my wife for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Nice.
6 years ago. We got a season tickets with the Paramount Club. And then our oldest daughter, who enjoys theater, when she graduated from the University of Washington, my wife and I gave her Paramount Club tickets and so she could take a friend and go see shows.
Nice.
So I think I've been a good, solid supporter.
Sure.
Of this organization.
Yes.
So then I read about their 90th anniversary party last night.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently, they don't like people who think like me. And they just talked about how the MC was this far, far left comedian. And Pramila Jayapal gets on stage and introduces Death Cab for Cutie, which Cutie.
I got it.
And they are way out to the left. And it, as the review said, it became just this big far-left rally. So what's somebody like me supposed to do? If I wanted to just go and support a theater, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to sit through that nonsense. I'm not. And do I
so
want to...
So were you invited?
No, it was free.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and let's face it, the only way they're going to get the far-left in is if it's free in Seattle. Everything's got to be free. College is free. Everything's free. But so what am I supposed to do now? It sounds like, based on the makeup of the program.
Have you enjoyed it up until now?
It depends on the show.
Okay. Well, if you enjoy it, I mean.
I enjoy some shows. Some shows have been nightmares.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing I just don't get anymore is where are just the moderate people? Where are the people who just, it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. Where are those people?
Or
why don't you just make, why can't theater just be to go to the theater?
Right. Why can't, because certainly nobody ever spews in a commercial setting around here far right wing stuff, because they would get, you know, they'd get shut down and protested and all of that. But they can do the far left wing stuff, and then what happens to their, you know, more moderate centrist or right of center patrons and customers? Because I don't.
Well, I think they do that at the risk of losing those people.
Which they've done because I can. What am I going to do now? I'm like, now I got to go sit and watch DVDs.
Don't let them win. Keep going.
No.
Go to the theater.
No, I'm done after reading about that. I don't understand why.
You know who's losing, though? You and your family. You're depriving yourself of something that you've enjoyed. If you don't enjoy it, don't go.
I enjoy some of them. Some of them.
I know my wife. Which ones you go to.
I know my wife enjoys it. Some of them, I get a really good nap. Some of them are just so, oh, man.
But some of them, let her go with the girls then.
Yeah. I love going there. I mean, I enjoy the shows. I've never been to one of those rallies, but, I mean, it's a beautiful venue, and I enjoy the shows.
Oh, it's great theater. Love the theater. Tend to love. I love everything about it, except I just think it's dumb. I just think it's really dumb when you make your 90th anniversary celebration about something that half of, I don't know if it's half, but certainly a lot of well-heeled people go there, and maybe they're not as liberal as you wanted to make this event last night. But I don't know why businesses try to turn off such a big portion of their audience or potential audience. So I'm done. I've been a big patron, been a big fan, been a big supporter, been a big donor, did all that stuff. Done. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. There's a fascinating story in the Seattle Times this weekend about how the string of assaults by homeless people has had such an impact on public opinion. And one of the most recent one was on Father's Day, when that dad and daughter just wanted to go see a movie downtown, and a guy named David Ilep, he attacked them, shook the daughter, grabbed her defense, baton.
Mm-hmm.
Collapsible baton, and then whacked her dad in the head with it. And then the 47-year-old guy who put a rope around a dad's neck as he was trying to take his family to the Space Needle. And then, of course, the guy who lived at Nicholsville, who's accused of the brutal rape in the Ballard car dealership bathroom. And there are so many more going back into last year, the Golden Gardens attack and all of that. And the question was being asked, how should this affect how we as a region handle this crisis? And I've given you my answer. I think that we have to get much tougher with our enforcing our laws, stop calling it homelessness when it's a lot of it is vagrancy and we're just using one word to capture everybody. And we've got to start enforcing our drug laws. You heard that story I had on Friday, the mom who took her 4-year-old son to the ocean just for a little mommy son getaway.
I vaguely remember.
I think you were putting together a newscast when I talked to her. But she just wanted to get away. It was the end of the school year, and she said, hey, let's go to the ocean. And they're walking out on the beach, and his left foot steps on a needle and pries it up, and his right ankle gets poked by this needle. And now they got to wait 6 months to see if the son contracted any communicable disease from a heroin needle sitting on the beach over near Ocean Shores there. And until we start getting back to enforcing the laws, because Mike O'Brien insanely said, you think the war on drugs worked? Well, what you're doing now is not working, Mike, and it has made the region horrible. Oh, and I saw a story in San Francisco this weekend where this very liberal neighborhood, they're like an arts community, and they are the last ones who would ever say anything negative about the homeless. They've had it.
Mm.
And there was a suitcase on the corner filled with human feces. Somebody was using a suitcase as their bathroom. And this guy, who's a software programmer, and he said that his son plays this game where he jumps over the piles of human feces all around the neighborhood. This woman who's lived there for 26 years, she said she has to take her shoes off outside of her apartment because how disgusting the soles of her shoes are every single day when she comes home. It is just an epidemic in cities like Seattle and San Francisco where all this is happening. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, we're now hearing from Roseanne The news came out over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday. I just didn't care that much about this news. They're going to do the Roseanne spinoff.
Yes.
Without Roseanne.
Which seems really ridiculous.
Yeah. Are there... I'm trying to think.
I mean, who's the star?
It's going to be Dan.
Yeah, John Goodman.
John Goodman. And then Darlene,
can he
I'm
carry
sure.
the show?
I don't really see it working out, but it'll get... Everybody will watch the first episode
exactly,
or two.
Just to see how it's done.
Yeah.
Just to see how they take her off. Like, I don't know how you do anything but kill her unless you say she's off in another country, you know, I don't know, doing charity work.
Have they said, are they going to kill her off?
No, they haven't decided.
Okay. I'm trying to think of shows where they've killed off a main character and it's worked.
They just did it with that Kevin Can Wait, the Kevin James show last year. They killed off the wife. So, and replaced her with Leah Remini, who was his wife in the last show.
Right.
And that didn't work. It got canceled this year.
I don't know if this is going to work. Anyway, we're hearing from Roseanne now because, and this was recorded.
Oh, you know who it did work for? 8 Simple Rules when John Ritter died.
Never heard of it.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
No.
Ursula, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I didn't watch the show either, but.
And it worked. Who took over? David Spade came and did the show.
Oh, MASH did it. They killed off Henry Blake, and then Colonel Sherman Potter came in. So there's another
Okay, so there's a chance.
Yeah, anyway, here's Roseanne. This was recorded with her spiritual advisor, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. He recorded Roseanne on his podcast, and they hadn't released the audio until this weekend. So it was still pretty fresh. When she realized the magnitude of her racist tweet and what the implications would likely be. But this is before her show had been canceled.
I have black children in my family. I can't let them say these things about me after 30 years of my putting my family and my health and my livelihood at risk to stand up to people. I'm a lot of things. I'm a loud mouth and all that stuff, but I'm not stupid, for God's sake. And I never would have wittingly called any black person say they are a monkey. I never would do that, and I didn't do that. And if people think that I did that, it just killed me. I didn't do that, although they think it did. And if they do think that, I am so sorry that I... You know, it was so unclear and stupid.
Okay, I have to interrupt this again. Unclear and stupid. How does somebody with as much savvy, and she's obviously a savvy person. She has had a rather remarkable career. I mean, when you know about her history, and she was just a housewife, and she would leave her husband and the kids in a motel room while she would go and do stand-up, mm-hmm. just convinced that she could make something out of her life. She built her career out of nothing. She's a savvy person. How does a savvy person not evaluate cost versus benefit of a tweet? Because the upside benefit, at best, is 1/1,000,000th of 1%, and the downside is 100%.
Which, you know, just makes me think it's that lesson you learn when you do something dumb and impulsive. Like, she clearly wasn't thinking.
I mean,
just listening to that, she sounds really remorseful. But is that
enough?
Oh,
I'm sure she was when she was starting to realize the gravity of what she'd done. I did tweet on Ambien last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah. Did I mention it to you earlier? I mentioned it to somebody. So I...
And why would you do that? And then you're bragging about it almost. Why?
Well, just like Roseanne, because I'm showing that I'm not as self-destructive as Roseanne, I hope. No, I took my Ambien, and I've just dozed off. And I was on the beginning of a pretty good little sleep, I think, shortly after midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, a rumble of thunder just shook the house. We talked about it an hour ago, yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah, and it just rattled my chest and woke me up. So I roll over and grab my phone. Now that was thunder. And I put my phone down. But I tweeted that. I don't know why I did that.
Wait, didn't we talk about this at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, I forgot.
That's what you were talking about today.
That's the residual effects. Let's get back to Roseanne for crying out loud.
I'm very sorry, but I don't think that. I never would do that. I have loved ones who are African-American. I just can't stand it. I just can't stand it. I've made a huge error. I told ABC when they called me. They said, what were you possibly thinking to say this egregious and unforgivable thing that you said? And first of all, I had already, apologized and removed it by then. Because it wasn't up very long. Sometimes you reread your tweets, especially on Memorial Weekend at 2 a.m. on Ambien, and that's no excuse, but that is what was real.
Yeah, you reread them and then hit send. Don't hit send and then reread. That's the key there.
Well, right. It's not an excuse because you and I both believe in the Torah's definition of repentance, where we don't excuse bad behavior, right?
I don't excuse. But it's explanation.
Right.
I was impaired,
But you still but you still regret and don't excuse what you wrote.
Of course.
So there's Roseanne. That was recorded just a day or two after the tweet and when it was still much more fresh. All right. And finally, in our Fastest 15, Jim Baker, the televangelist, was also a felon. Jim Baker went to prison for a while, but he now has a product that he's hawking. It is a gel. It's available for $25 for 4 ounces. And I tell you, this sounds like a miracle gel. Here is Jim Baker with one of the new products that he's hawking as part of his televangelist life.
This is like one thing we never talk about, really, is it's one of the few gels and products that cures or gets rid of all venereal diseases.
Yeah.
This is like a...
it's a miracle in a tube.
Yeah, it is a miracle in a tube.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There you go. $25 for 4 ounces. And Jim Baker will get rid of all your VD. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
In about 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. This morning, the United States Supreme Court told Arlene's Flowers over in the Tri-Cities that the case against her here in Washington dismissed, but the state courts have to now reconsider it. So what does all of this mean? We're going to talk to the attorney representing Baronelle Stutzman and Arlene Flowers right after this. We'll check the news next on the Dory Monson Show.
Flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck up.
Last week, the United States Supreme Court ruled in favor of a cake maker in Colorado who did not want to do a cake for a gay wedding reception. And a lot of people were wondering, how is that going to affect the case of Arlene's Flowers, the florist in the Tri-Cities, who is being destroyed right now by our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, because she did not want to do a flower arrangement for a gay wedding reception. And there are some notable differences between the cases. The Supreme Court of the United States this morning said it is not going to hear the Arlene's Flower case at this time. They're sending it back to the courts here in Washington, and I want to know what that means. So let me welcome to the show Kristen Wagner. She's with the Alliance Defending Freedom. She's been working with Baronelle Stutzman at Arlene's Flowers. Kristen, it's good to talk with you again.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so tell me, first of all, just give me the nuts and bolts of this Supreme Court ruling this morning.
Well, the Supreme Court granted Baronelle's petition to consider her case, and then it vacated the Washington Supreme Court decision against her. It remanded it to the Washington courts and said, you need to take another look at Mel's case in light of what the court said in the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision.
Okay, and so essentially it nullified the ruling against Arlene's flowers in at the state Supreme Court level?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Now, I know, as I said, there are some notable differences, and what the U.S. Supreme Court said about the Colorado cake maker was that there was some open, outright hostility toward his faith in what they were saying along the way. I don't know that I've seen that level of open hostility toward Baronel Stutzman. I know it exists, but I don't know that I've seen it, you know, or heard it verbalized. So is that a big difference between the two cases or not?
I don't think that it is a big difference. And I think that the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision, which I argued, is much broader than that. Certainly the court said that the hostile treatment of Jack Phillips in Masterpiece Cake Shop was violated the Constitution. But the court also laid out some broader general guidelines for courts as they're considering these claims, both on the free speech side and on the additional free exercise side. And it laid out those principles, and the lower courts need to apply those, and those certainly benefit Baronel as well. No one should be bullied or banished for their religious beliefs on marriage. The court made that clear. The court made clear that some speech will be protected, and it said that in its decision as well, and that the same rule has to apply to both sides of the marriage debate. So, Dory, I think in terms of all the arguments that we made at Masterpiece Cake Shop, the court either embraced those arguments or it left them intact, which means that will all benefit Baronel.
Okay, so let's say that you have stronger legal ground. You are still going before Washington state courts, whether they're the Superior Court or the state Supreme Court, that clearly has an agenda and does not show any favoritism toward anybody with Baronel Stutzman's life views. So that's where I'm wondering, are you going to get a fair shot from them?
Well, I don't need fairness, and Baronel doesn't need fairness. What she needs is the courts to follow the Constitution and the United States Supreme Court's decision. And we believe that they will do so because it's their duty to do so, and we're optimistic. And in any event, no matter what the courts do in Washington, you know, those decisions will again go before the U.S. Supreme Court if Baronel doesn't prevail. But again, I think the hostility with which Bob Ferguson has treated Baronel in unprecedented ways for his office don't bode well, and the fact that all of Baronel's arguments remain intact. And the Supreme Court said that. It also said that it's wrong to compare her beliefs to racial bigotry. The court said that in Obergefell, the same-sex marriage decision, and it just said it again in Masterpiece.
Well, I mean, I had Bob Ferguson on my show on this issue, and I quoted for him from the state constitution, which makes it very clear that you are not to be disturbed in, you know, personal or property based on your religion. And that's where I think you had the Constitution on your side the first time around. I'm just not convinced that we have a state Supreme Court that's interested in following the Constitution, Kristen.
Well, I can't speak to you know, what the state Supreme Court will do. I know what the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision says. I know that the U.S. Supreme Court has the authority to say what the federal Constitution says, and it has applied and shown some very general principles that apply to Baronel and that she should prevail in her case. And if she doesn't in the Washington court system, then it will be back up before the U.S. Supreme Court again.
And what's the timetable for all this?
It's difficult to say. I think it will depend on what the Washington Supreme Court does with it, whether it will go back to further discovery or if they will have a new hearing, a new briefing, and decide it. But there are other cases that are being litigated around the nation as well that will also be headed up to the U.S. Supreme Court while Baronel's case is being litigated.
Are you guys working pro bono for Baronel?
You bet we are. The Attorney General is suing her personally, going after everything she owns. She doesn't have a penny to be able to afford this. So our services are pro bono, and what he's done is punitive and vindictive.
What has this done to her? I mean, give me some personal behind-the-scenes glimpse. I mean, this is a lady who was friends with these guys, sold them flowers, told them, I'm sorry, my religious faith, I don't want to participate in a gay marriage ceremony. And they had lots of options where they could have just said, okay, we'll get them down the block. And that alone has turned this woman's life upside down. But just give me some insight as to what this has done personally to this woman.
Well, I think, Dory, if you think about being a 73-year-old grandmother, you don't have the time left to engage in an entirely new career. You've built a business over 40 years. You thought you would pass that on to your grandkids and that it would serve as your retirement, and all of it hangs in the balance. You serve a customer for nearly a decade, and after serving that customer, knowing he was gay, for a decade, you decline one event, and it's all hanging in the balance. And add on to that the death threats that she's received consistently, the security she's had to put in place in her shop, the demeaning, disparaging language that the attorney general has used and the courts have used in that system. It has turned her life upside down, and it's wrong. It's not only unconstitutional, it's wrong what the Washington government has done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I find it all so despicable. All right. Well, we will certainly stay in touch, Kristen. I appreciate you always being available to come on with me.
Thank you very much.
Kristen Wagner, she's with the Alliance Defending Freedom, working with Baronelle Stutzman. Your thoughts, you can text me, 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Freaking out hearing your voice so much, Sean. Throwing me off.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of all over the station right now.
Usually every time I hear your voice, you're giving me instructions. So I was all set to go to KP Billiards right now because I always do what you tell me to do.
Right. And if you want your fast water heater heated fast, go to fastwaterheater.com.
No, Brandon Heating and Air Conditioning.
Oh, that's right.
They do water heaters. They're my guys. Come on now. Don't jump on my big sponsors. Okay, I told you. I hate doing I told you so. I told you so on Friday that Tom Arnold, he's getting all kinds of attention because he sent out a picture of himself and Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, last week. And he said that this dude's got all the tapes. And Tom Arnold said that he and Michael Cohen are going to expose these tapes that are going to end Trump's presidency. Because when people hear what's on these tapes, they're going to be so disgusted. The first time Tom Arnold ever made this accusation was on our show about a year and a half ago. Here's just a few seconds of that.
It was him sitting in that chair saying the N-word, saying the C-word, calling his son a retard. He's being so mean to his own children. Saw him saying the N-word. He's sitting, matter-of-factly, in front of, there has to be 30 people there, and he's matter-of-factly saying all this stuff. So I think they would have liked him more, the people.
Okay, I told on Friday, I said, I don't believe this tape exists because it would have come out before the election. It would have torpedoed his ability to become president. And Tom Arnold, when he was in the studio with me, he was just twitchy and sweaty, and he was just a very... I mean, just very odd guy. So I said, on Friday, I said, I don't believe any of this. I don't believe the whole Michael Cohen story. Well, Michael Cohen came out and said, yeah, we saw each other in a hotel lobby. He asked to take a picture. I'm not working with him on any project. But still, CNN puts Tom Arnold on this weekend. Of course, the big difference between CNN and the Dory Monson show, my show, real news, CNN, fake news. So, but it was so obvious that Tom Arnold was lying to CNN.
Well, I mean, he is working. I mean, he's working with America. He's on the good side.
She's talking about Michael Cohen. She asked, Poppy Harlow asked, who's Michael Cohen working with on this?
He's on.
What does that mean?
That means he's doing the right things. I mean, he's not working against America. I mean, he's not working with Trump. Let's put it that way.
Is he working to take down the president?
To take down, those are my words. Oh, my God, my glasses. To take down, those are my words. Those are Tom Arnold words that I said. He is not actively, he's doing everything. Michael Cohen is working legally.
Okay, and you can tell, he just doesn't want to answer any question. She asked, does Cohen have incriminating tapes, as you've suggested?
Did Michael Cohen tell you he has something incriminating on President Trump?
How could he not have any? First of all, I know.
Hold on. Yes or no?
I'm on a trial here. Well, slow down. How could he not have stuff on incriminating on Donald Trump? Michael Cohen worked for him. He was his Ray Donovan, except since it's Trump, it's like.
So he won't answer. He just says, how can he not? And it goes on and on. And CNN is being very irresponsible. When we had Tom Arnold on, we explained that he just didn't seem like a credible guy. But CNN, so desperate to get anything on the president. And I got to play for you these last couple of cuts, too. So Tom Arnold won't say what the tapes have.
Is that what you have is unaired tapes from his time on The Apprentice?
We have a lot of things.
Is that part of what you have, Tom?
I would tell you that everything, every tape, the P tape, I would bet that every tape is real.
I'm sorry, what's...
Okay, so he says, yeah, I would bet, and then she keeps asking him questions.
Did Michael Cohen tell you specifically that he is working with the authorities, that he has agreed to cooperate with the authorities in their investigation?
I wouldn't... This is too important to me to F around, and you know the word I'm talking about. And I have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter, and that's really why I'm doing the show. And we're having fun with these Trump tapes. But this is serious to me, Poppy, and I'm not effing around.
I'm asking
you. No, I'm not saying you think I am.
Did Michael Cohen tell you specifically, really just yes or no, that he is cooperating with the authorities? Should charges be brought?
This is awesome. By the way, this is the longest Tom Arnold's ever been quiet in his life, because he would talk nonstop. You ask him one question, he'll go for an hour.
Did he tell you? Do you not want to answer the question?
No.
You don't want to answer the question?
Right.
Okay.
Because.
Will you let us know what you learn over the weekend, since you're spending the weekend with Michael Cohen?
No.
So that's CNN's latest attempt to bring down the press.
I didn't realize his new show is all about these tapes.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's weird. It's good,
yeah.
He's crazy.
Big Lead 2 is next.